Is the last part of the gospel for the day. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, my dear Christian friends, it was not a large group of men, only 12 in number. They did have a lot in common. They had all responded to the same call, follow me. They had all gathered round the same teacher, Jesus Christ. And this Jesus Christ had also intended that they should become fishers of men. These 12 disciples of our Lord traveled together, talked together, worked together, and they shared many common experiences with one another. It was a closely knit social unit, but it was nonetheless a group of men, sons of Adam, and so their social unit was not at all perfect. Tragically, one of the 12, Judas, who was the treasurer, helped himself to the treasury, and eventually the love of money undid him totally as he sold the priesthood. But the others, other 11, were also not without fault. In our text, we have a case that we might take a look at. For James and John, with their mother also speaking for them and urging them on, came to Jesus with the request, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, grant that one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." These two men ought to be commended for part of their attitude over against Jesus. They were confident in him. They were fully convinced that he was a king and that he would establish a kingdom. They fully believed, in spite of what many others said to the contrary, that this was a king with divine right and might and authority. And so they expressed their faith and their confidence in their Lord as they come to him and speak to him about his kingdom and recognize that this is a kingdom also that will have power and will have glory. Not an insignificant teacher were they following, but one in whom they had confidence. But there was also a certain amount of self-serving ambition in their request. They knew that there were positions of honor in earthly kingdoms, and they wanted to have a chance for such a position of honor in their Lord's kingdom. They wanted to get their applications in early. And so they came and wanted to remind Jesus that he should not forget about them. And therefore they asked, "Grant that one of us may sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory." And so these two men had a certain amount of self-serving ambition. And the other disciples were not too well pleased with what James and John had done. For our text also says that they were indignant when they heard about this. They were not but letting situation passed casually by. They were indignant, and I would suggest that there were a few tense moments. There were some uneasy moments in the personal relationship in this little group of 12 men at this particular time. But our Lord Jesus Christ snapped upon the situation and used the circumstances to teach a very positive lesson. He says to the disciples that greatness in his kingdom is not like greatness is in the world. It is the master's paradox that Jesus presents to us upon this occasion. The master's paradox, which is to be understood by all who are the followers of Jesus Christ. As Jesus presented this paradox, he wants us to know that we are to live in this paradox, and he wants us, secondly, to understand that he himself established this paradox. Honor, power, authority, those are words which thrill every human breast. And those who on this earth are engaged full time with the responsibility of serving the Lord and his church upon this earth are not immune to the charm of these big words. These words spell greatness. But the master's paradox comes. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. There's a striking parallelism in this statement of our Lord. Note the first part. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. There is greatness, but greatness comes by being a servant. And the word that's used there in the Greek is diakonos. And then there comes the second part of the statement. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. I say it's an interesting parallelism that our Lord used. For not only is there servanthood, not only is there greatness, but among the great there's the first position. And if anybody aspires to that first position, then he is not just the diakonos, but he should become a doer, a slave. One wonders whether the Lord had this subtle kind of progression in mind when he said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. There's a certain kind of unconditional obligation about slavery that might not rest in servanthood. A striking parallelism as the master presented his paradox. Perhaps you might not agree with my interpretation of that progression. But even if you see the two statements as being just synonymous, one with the other, the point still remains clear, and that is that in the kingdom of God, there is not greatness in the sense that there is greatness among the rulers of this world. In the kingdom of God, we really don't seek greatness at all. Our concern, rather, is to be servant and slave to all who are in need of our ministry. That's the master's paradox, and he would have us live within that paradox. It is he himself who established the paradox. For he continues in the last verse of the text, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Lord of heaven and earth, master of the universe, king of all, and he became a servant to mankind. We are reminded so readily of Paul's words to the Philippians when he said, Christ Jesus made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Thus the paradox of the Master was established. The Son of God, in his own body, came to pay the ransom price for a mankind which had sold itself into sin, death, and the slavery of hell. And now with the ransom price paid, we live. We are free men. Thus, the Master established the paradox. Therein, in the death and also the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, lies the power of the paradox. This morning, our Lord himself will come to be a servant to you and me. For with the bread and the wine that we receive in the Lord's Supper, we also receive that very body and blood with which he gained our manumission. He is going to be servant again. The Son of God and Son of Man will be servant again to you and to me. A paradox indeed. How true it is, we are rich, for he was poor. Is not this a wonder? Therefore, praise God evermore, here on earth and yonder. The master's paradox is replete with the insurpassable beauty of the redemption of men through Jesus Christ. Amen.